He snorted a question, demanding to know what it was. Yakiel glanced over her shoulder, back toward the walking garden.
Them, of course. Can't you sense the change?
Now Yakiel was really starting to frighten Basil. When he asked her what change she meant, his voice broke into a shrill squeal that made passing beings circle around them even more widely.
Oh, Barv. You're just so trusting.
Yakiel took Basil by the wrist and started toward the speeder entrance again, this time at a more normal pace.
Don't let them know we're on to them. That's the mistake the others made.
Basil began to have a sinking feeling. He inquired what others she was talking about. Yakiel stared up out of one narrowed eye.
The others like us, of course.
Basil asked if she meant the rest of the unit, Gisela and Valen. Yakiel nodded, adding,
And Seth and Natua, too.
They were just angling past the main entrance, where a full Galactic Alliance security assault team, complete with armored hover cars, had been stationed as an assertion of Dala's authority. To either side of them sat a pair of news vans, resting on their parking struts until the next opportunity came to embarrass the Jedi Order. Javis Tyr was nowhere in sight at the moment, but Basil recognized Tyr's distinctive half-winking gotcha eye logo on one of the vans, and he knew the bottom-feeding reporter would be somewhere close. He pulled Yakiel to his other side, where she would be shielded from roving cams by his jade bulk. His worst fears were confirmed when Yakiel failed to notice what he was doing.
We'll free Seth and Natua first, she said. Then maybe we can recover Gisela and Valen, find a safe place to thaw them out, and figure out what the criff is going on.
It would certainly be good to figure things out, Basil agreed. What he didn't say was that Yakiel was breaking his heart. He hadn't grown as close to Seth and Natua at shelter as he had to Yakiel and the Horn siblings, but the quarters had been so tight that he had become friends with most of the other students, and he desperately wanted to see them leave the asylum block when they were ready. Now Basil's best friend was starting to act like she was on her way to joining them, which was certainly a better alternative to being frozen in carbonite like Valen and Gisela. That Basil would never allow. As they approached the corner of the temple, Basil took one last look toward the cam vans and found a single lens turned their way, no doubt capturing some stock footage of him so they would have something ready when they aired a report about the Jedi menace. He raised a hand as though to wave, at the same time shooting a force flash toward the van that would wipe his image and most of the day's other footage from the cam's digital memory. They rounded the corner and came to a hedge of tall Rutolu bushes, the purple leaves as long and slender as daggers. A freshly worn path led through the hedge to a chest-high safety wall that protected the sunken entrance to the speeder gate, and it was here that Yakiel reached for her lightsaber. Basil was desperate to keep her from causing trouble outside the temple, where she might injure a passerby and would certainly draw the attention of the GAS assault team. He grabbed her wrist and pulled her away. Yakiel spun on him with fire in her eyes, then sent a jolt of force energy into his arm so powerful that Basil squealed in surprise. He had never seen her do such a thing before. In fact, he had never seen any Jedi use the force that way.
You, Barv?
Yakiel's hand dropped to her lightsaber.
They got you?
Basil gave a disgusted snort, pointing out they weren't going to free anyone from the asylum block by trying to fight their way into the temple. The plan was to fool the Jedi, remember? Yakiel's hand remained on her lightsaber hilt, her long brow fur rising at the ends as she studied Basil. Finally, she said,
Barv, we are the Jedi.
Silently cursing the dim wits of his species and the sharp wits of the Bothans, Basil took a deep breath and tried to accept that he would soon be in a huge amount of pain. Even under the best circumstances, Basil wasn't a very good liar, and now Yakiel would be using the Force to determine whether he was being truthful. That left him with only one option, to grab her and try to drag her inside the temple before the GAS assault team arrived and the two Jedi got themselves killed. And that was when Basil realized he could lie to her. The key to defeating the Jedi truth sense lay in believing the lie one told, and Basil knew how to do that. He didn't know how he knew or where he had learned it, But all he had to do was soak his words in a little force energy, and then he himself would believe what he said, and everyone else would too. So Basil simply shrugged and pulled his hand away from Yakiel's lightsaber. He suggested that maybe rescuing Seth and Atua wasn't such a good idea after all. The fakes were bound to be watching them, and the instant he and Yakiel started down toward the asylum block, they'd probably get jumped and end up in a cell themselves. Yakiel considered his words for a moment, then took her hand away from her lightsaber.
You're probably right, Barv, but we've got to try.
Basil sighed in relief, using his newfound force skill to make it seem like resignation. Then he asked Yakiel if she was ready. Yakiel nodded.
As ready as I'll ever be.
She grabbed the safety wall and pulled herself up, crouching on its mist-slick top to glance back down at Basil.
Remember to act normal, Barv. You can't let them shiver you out too much.
He assured her that he wouldn't give them away to anyone inside the temple. It was another lie, of course, but he did not feel guilty about it. Once he had Yakiel safe somewhere deep inside the temple, he could try to reason with her, make her see that nothing sinister had happened to their fellow Jedi. And if he failed, at least there would be plenty of help to make certain she didn't fall into GAS's custody and end up like Valen and Jycella.